day, everyone, and welcome to the Cigna Eating Disorder Awareness Series Conference. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Kate Harner. Please go ahead.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for calling into Cigna's 2013 Eating Disorder Awareness Series. My name is Kate Harner, and I'm a care manager on the Eating Disorder team at Cigna. Due to the format of this call today, you will not be able to ask questions during the teleconference. However, at the end of this conference, you will be transferred into a brief five-question survey in which we are requesting your feedback on your experience in today's seminar. After this survey, you will be able to ask questions of today's speaker. A handout for today's presentation is available online at www.cigna.com/eating-disorders. Halfway down the page, under the heading Current Topics, you'll see the link to click on for today's presentation in blue entitled Weighing the Issue, Getting to the Heart of the Matter with Binge Eating Disorder. Once again, visit the Awareness Series page online at www.cigna.com/eating-disorders. Halfway down the page under the heading Current Topics, you'll see the link for today's presentation in blue entitled Weighing the Issue, Getting to the Heart of the Matter with Binge Eating Disorder. Please also notice the blue square in the top section of the page that you may click on to sign up for the Awareness Series. It is not required that you sign up in order to attend the monthly seminars. However, if you choose to sign up, you will receive email reminders for each month's presentation. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Dr. Jennifer Nardozzi. Dr. Nardozzi is a private practice psychologist specializing in the treatment of individuals with eating disorders. Today, she will be sharing information with us on binge eating disorders. Welcome, Dr. Nardozzi.
Kate, thank you so much, and just a real pleasure to be here with all of you today. And I just really want to acknowledge each and every one of you for being on the call today, because there's certainly places you could have been at 1 o'clock on a weekday other than on this webinar. And so I just really want to acknowledge you for everybody who's on this call, both those struggling perhaps with this problem, for the loved ones, family members who are on this call today. And I also really want to acknowledge Cigna. I think it's beautiful that you have an insurance company who is so dedicated to their participants that they really want to offer this awareness series. And so it truly is a gift and a great service to be provided. So I'd like to get started, and I'm going to pretty much go through the slides, add some additional information. And I want to tell you just a little bit more about my background. So you have a sense of who this person is talking to you, a little bit that I know about eating disorders and how I sort of came to that. So as Kate said, I am in private practice currently, and I would say probably 98% of my practice right now is really working with people who are struggling with eating issues all along the spectrum. And prior to going out full-time in private practice, I worked at a treatment center, the Renfrew Center, which some of you have heard of, for 12 years. And so it gave me a really good understanding of the issue of eating problems and the comorbidity that goes along with that, and really trying to understand what this struggle is really about. And that's what we're really here to talk about today, and to specifically be looking at binge eating disorder. So that's just a little bit about my background. It's a topic that I love to talk about. I think it's such an important talk about, so important to talk about it. And even though there's a lot of education out there, I think there's a lot more in terms of prevention. The unfortunate thing is that eating disorders are very much on the rise. So even more, I think it's a really critical topic. So I want to share with you just for a moment what the next hour is going to be looking like, so you have a sense of what's coming sort of down the pike. And I know many of you already got the handout, but we're really going to talk a little bit about education, and then I always like to do in my presentation, even webinars like this, is to do some experiential exercises, because I think it's so important to really be able to relate to the information and to see how the information applies to you right here, right now. So if you haven't went to get some paper or a pen or a journal, I want you to go ahead and do that right now, because it's going to make the webinar that much more powerful for you if you can really kind of apply the information that's coming up. So take a moment and go ahead and do that, and I'm just going to share with you a little bit about the next sort of 45 minutes we have together, and then there's going to be questions at the end. So we're going to move into a centering exercise here in a moment. But before I do that, I just want to share with you, we are going to go through the criteria for binge eating. And, you know, that's actually a newer diagnostic category in the new, what they call DSM manual. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk a little bit about some ideas for treatment. And I sort of broke it up into two categories. So some shorter-term strategies and then some longer-term interventions that you can be applying to yourself or as you're thinking about your loved one. And then, as we said, at the end, we're going to have some chances to ask some questions. And I really encourage you, if you have any question that you want to ask, go ahead and ask it, because probably you're asking that question not just for yourself, but somebody else on the line also has that question. I'm also going to give you my contact information at the end. So if there is a question that feels maybe a little more specific to you, you can feel free to reach out to me, and I'm happy to help you kind of problem solve if you're looking for, you know, other answers that might be more specific to your own journey. So with that, I'd like to start off just by taking a few minutes to reflect. And so if it feels comfortable to you, I really invite you to close your eyes for just a moment. That, you know, usually we're kind of running through our days. It's very busy. And so I really want to give you the chance to kind of just be with you right here, right now. Just to allow yourself to kind of get grounded so you really can be receptive to the information and to hear whatever it is that you need to hear for today. So, again, just start by closing your eyes and taking a few deep breaths, a lot deeper than you've probably been going through your day. And just notice right now how it feels to be with you. Notice any physical sensations in your body. Notice any discomfort. Maybe places where you might be holding stress. Just even notice the quality of your breathing as you're breathing a little deeper with each breath. What are you beginning to notice as you tune in on the inside? What are you feeling right here, right now? What emotions, if you had to name a few emotions, one or two or three emotions that you're feeling right here in the moment, how would you describe that? And what is your thinking experience right now? What is the quality of your thoughts? Can you connect right here in the moment? And it's very easy to have our thoughts go to the past, or we're already on to our next event or activity for the day. But see if you can very gently just bring yourself back to this space. And I want you to ask yourself a question to yourself, which is, what do you most need to hear right now? And just notice anything that might be coming up in the moment, if you hear anything. What do you most need to hear from this presentation? What do you most need to receive? What is it that you're looking for? And I'm going to count back from five, and when I get to one, you're going to hear the sound of the chime, and I just invite you to come back to the space. So five, four, three, two, and one. Okay. And I invite you just to open your eyes if you had your eyes closed. And just even notice as you open your eyes if you're having a bit of a different experience than you did 5 minutes ago. It's amazing that sometimes it just takes a few moments to switch gears, to connect in a different way to ourselves. And I think that it's so important to be able to do that because a lot of times these eating issues are about disconnection. They're about not focusing on our feelings, not focusing on our own internal experience, not focusing on whatever pain we might be experiencing, but instead the struggles with food really get us out of the moment. It's a way to distract. Sometimes it's a way to stuff what's really going on. So being able to learn to connect, to pause, to reflect is a big key in terms of a process of recovery. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But what I'd like to move into next, and you can go to the slide that lists about binge eating disorder. And this really is the criteria for if you meet binge eating disorder. But what I want you to be thinking about as I'm going to read these, and you may have had a chance to already read these as well, is where do you see yourself? Because here's the thing, with eating disorders, oftentimes it's along a spectrum. Even if you're finding, yes, wow, that really fits me, or, well, parts of that fit me, other parts of it don't exactly fit me. Maybe there's other behaviors along with the binging that you're dealing with. So that's something just to start noticing. So the criteria to meet binge eating disorder is that it's happening, the overeating's happening at least one time a week for 3 months. And there are some hallmarks that we're seeing with binge eating disorder. So there is the lack of control over the eating, feeling very distressed. Typically that occurs afterwards. And then you're also meeting three or more of these following criteria. So you're eating much more rapidly than normal. So many times my clients, when they talk about binging, they'll talk about not being so present. They'll talk about, wow, I don't even know what happened. You know, the binge happens, and then later it's like, wow, I felt like something almost took over. I was eating so quickly, but I wasn't really even present to what the food tasted like. It didn't even matter what the food was. It was just about the process of sort of ingesting. Eating till you're feeling uncomfortably full. And really, sometimes it feels you feel very, very, very full. But I will say that sometimes because there is that emotional disconnection, even though you're feeling, on one hand, the physical fullness, emotionally, you're also feeling so disconnected. So sometimes you're feeling it, feeling that uncomfortable fullness, and sometimes you're not even as present to it because you're so disconnected from the experience. Also, the eating the large amounts of food, even when not physically hungry. And that is a really important one, right? Because this issue of the binge eating, it's not about the food per se. Do you have to deal with the food? Do you have to learn how to have a different relationship with the food? Yes. But it really is about trying to fulfill another void. And we're going to be kind of pointing towards that a little bit more in the presentation. Also, with eating disorders, not just binge eating, but I would say probably along the spectrum, that many times eating disorders are very isolating. A lot of the behaviors are very secretive. So this other criteria about eating alone because of being embarrassed, that is a very common hallmark. Or sneaking food, eating in the car, eating in places where you feel like you're not going to be seen. So that's a really important one. And then the last one is feeling really upset with yourself, feeling really disgusted, depressed, or even guilty afterwards, after you sort of come out of that binge cycle and start to get more present to, oh my gosh, what has just happened? So the thing that I would really like you to look at, and maybe you already thought of this either for yourself or for your loved one, but what is your own experience? So the next slide I have is just to, you know, look at kind of looking at yourself in the mirror and looking at where did you say, wow, yeah, I really saw myself in that one. Well, maybe I don't do that one as much anymore. And to really look at what has happened for you, because many times these eating issues, they don't start you know, all at once. Like, my sense is that if you're on this call today, or as a loved one, if you're on this call, these problems have been going on for a long time in some version. But right now, you're really looking to get more education, more help, that you're really wanting something to change. The other thing that I want to say, and this is really important, and I had a conversation with a young woman last night who presenced this for me, and I said, you know, I definitely want to say that on the webinar tonight, today, is that people of all sizes struggle with binge eating. And that's also important, because sometimes we can miss that there is a problem with binge eating because of somebody's size. You know, sometimes people struggling with binge eating also are struggling with restricting, which is not uncommon, or they might also be struggling with over-exercising or diet pills or laxatives that also can go along with the binge eating. So somebody might be of average weight. There's a client I even work with who is underweight, and she struggles with binge eating in addition to the other eating disorder, the other eating behaviors that she has a problem with. So that's a really important distinction to be making. And what I say is that eating disorders are often like this iceberg. So if you look at that slide, and so I want to explain a little bit about this, is that sometimes what we're seeing with ourselves or with our loved one is we're seeing just the tip of the iceberg. Like, we're noticing that, something's going on with this person's relationship with their food, with their body, that they're not seeming as happy. We're seeing some of the struggles in terms of the mood that often accompanies these eating problems. So you're seeing the tip of the iceberg. And the part that sometimes is not as easy to see is, what is this problem really about? Like, what is the heart of it? And that's why I really even came up with that title. Like, there is some kind of core that's going on that is really kind of almost, I want to say, the real issue. Not that we don't have to deal with the binging, because you do have to deal with sort of the tip of the iceberg, and then you also have to be dealing with what's underneath the surface. And I will tell you, oftentimes the way people want to solve these problems is that they just want to focus on the tip of the iceberg. So let me just deal with the weight, the weight, the weight, the weight. Let me just deal with the food alone. Yes, you have to deal with the food. And yes, the weight, if there has been weight gain, many times that is then the aftermath or the consequence of whatever the behaviors are. So where we really like to focus in treatment is, how do we focus on changing the behaviors, but also understanding what are these behaviors really connected to in a deeper way. So, you know, I mentioned that a lot of times the way people want to just solve these problems is, let me go on a diet. Now, my sense is, if you're on this call and you've been struggling with this problem, you've been on diets. You've been on a lot of diets. And this is a statistic that I think is pretty important. It says, how would you feel if you failed at something over and over again and the experts kept prescribing a treatment with a 95% failure rate, then blamed you when it didn't work? How would you feel? And this next slide, the truth about diet. So this is kind of a funny slide. You can read it, but you'll lose weight on any strict diet. It's mostly water from crying. So is the solution really just going on yet another diet? Some of you may have heard of an author, and she's a speaker as well. Her name's Janine Roth, and she has a lot of great books out there. There's a book that I like a lot called Women, Food, and God. It's one of her more recent books about eating issues, and she does focus a lot on this issue of emotional eating or binge eating. But what she really talks about is what we're doing with our food. What we're doing with our food is really a reflection of what is going on in the rest of our lives. So if you think about it, our eating is really a microcosm of our internal world. And that, again, points to what I'm talking about in terms of this idea of the iceberg, those deeper issues. And as I've been mentioning, eating behaviors, these struggles with eating, often have these longer-term patterns. So, again, just changing these problems very quickly, there's not usually just a quick fix. So oftentimes, again, this idea of like, well, let me just try the next diet, and this time it's going to work. And many of my clients who struggle with these issues will talk about, I've been on every diet, like every diet imaginable I've been on, and I've followed some kind of meal plan for a certain period of time. I've lost weight and held, you know, kept it up for a certain period of time, and then it seems like the problems start all over again. So another thing to just be thinking about for yourself or your loved one, if binging is a reflection of something being out of balance, right? It's not just that your food is out of balance, right? But something else is out of balance in your life, or more than one thing, which is often the case. So I want you to start thinking about that for yourself. It's like, huh, what I'm doing with my food mirrors something in my life, or something in my life mirrors something in my food. You can do it either way. And to begin to be really curious about what those things are. And the other thing I really have my clients look at is, when do these problems first begin? Because eating issues do not just kind of fall out of the sky on your head, meaning it's usually a very complex kind of problem. What we know about eating disorders, and this is not on the slides, but I just want to add this in, is that eating disorders often have some kind of genetic predisposition. So many times we'll find eating disorders within families and sometimes even other addictive behaviors. My clients might say, well, I don't have anybody with an eating disorder, but I have substance abuse, or there's been gambling or some other kind of addiction that's been in the family. Then many times there are individual characteristics that you'll see with people with eating issues. So things such as sometimes being people pleasers, being very perfectionistic, having a hard time dealing with emotions, being very sensitive, which can be a beautiful quality, but then feeling very affected by everything in the world, having a difficult time setting boundaries, speaking up, saying no. So these individual characteristics. And then at times there can be some family dynamics at times that can add to sort of the environment that kind of helps to kind of, I don't want to say create the eating disorder, but it kind of might support some of these problems going on. So something, again, just to be thinking of. And then, you know, we live in a culture that we have a lot of confusing messages around food. And I think many people in our culture have struggles with body and food on some level. I think it depends on the degree. So I want us to move to the next slide that talks about to begin noticing and asking. So, and this is part of what today is about, and for some of you, you've already been working on these issues around your eating, your food, your body, your relationship with your body, but really starting to be honest about what's going on for you. So what I'm going to invite you to do just for a moment, if you have your paper or your journal, and look, nobody else is seeing this. You don't have to share this with anybody else. This is completely private. You can rip it up after this webinar. I have some clients who would not write anything down because they don't want anybody to see it. So feel free to rip it up if you want to after. But I want you to take one moment just to write down for yourself what actually is going on with your eating. What's going on? And see if you can write down and be specific about what's the struggle right now. And if you're a family member or a loved one that's on the call, what do you think is going on with your loved one? So you might have a sense, you might not, maybe they've shared with you. So whoever you are on the line, take one moment, and I'm going to tell you to go ahead and just, if you haven't started writing, to do that, and then I'll tell you when a minute is up. Okay, so wherever you are right now, go ahead and stop. And I would encourage you, if you didn't get through everything you wanted to say in 1 minute, that you really find some time to keep writing about that. I think writing and journaling can be such a healing method in terms of really starting to understand and make these connections. Because the thing that I want to say is that these are never problems of the intellect. So many of the clients I work with are the most amazing people. They're bright, they're professional, they're creative and wonderful people. And, you know, these are never problems of how smart you are, right? And I say that because sometimes I have clients that are like, why can't I figure this out? Like, why is this such a difficult thing? And, well, I didn't plan on talking about Oprah today, but somehow she just popped into my head. And if you think about, you know, Oprah, she has been struggling. You know, here's this woman who is so bright and such a powerhouse and such a leader in so many ways, and she has been struggling with this issue for such a long time. And I don't know exactly where she is, and I don't know that much about Oprah personally, but these are never problems that are just about being smart. I mean, they've usually have started many years prior to when somebody's actually starting to seek help. So, you know, I have a few other questions on the slide that I want you to be thinking about, which is really starting to try to make those connections with, when did this problem first start? Because what I can probably guarantee you is that it didn't just start out of the blue with no stressor. Many times these eating issues will start because some stressor has also triggered it. So you may say, yes, you know, genetics, check. Individual personality characteristics that I described in the beginning, check. Family that, you know, maybe also had some eating struggles, maybe some focus around body weight, living in an environment that we know is ripe for creating eating disorders, and then there was some kind of stressor, whatever that may have been for you. The other thing that I want to say is that it's not uncommon that the eating issue can start one way and then it can morph into something else. So I have plenty of clients that I work with that when they think to when the eating issue first started, they may say, you know what, in the beginning, it really started as just kind of a harmless diet. And I started losing weight. And then I got a lot of positive feedback about that. But then somewhere later in my life, the restriction and the eating, kind of the dieting, then morphed into the binging. So you might also find yourself in that kind of scenario, that when I think back, it didn't start off as binging. It started off in another, sort of another face of the eating issue. So another thing to be thinking about. I also wanted to just add this on this slide, too, where I said start noticing the binge cycle. And I have this picture of a wave here, because if you think about the actual like binge cycle, so maybe thinking about the last time you struggled with your food, that many times, not always, some clients will say to me, I already knew that that night I was going to binge. That for some binges, or sometimes wherever you are in your own journey of, I call it recovery or treatment process, that you may see that, I'm already sort of planning it. So the good news about that is that if you're already sometimes planning it, not always so consciously, not like it's in the forefront of your mind, but it's in sort of the back of your mind, that what you can do then is say, well, that's interesting. I wonder why I'm already starting to say, okay, right after work, I'm binging. When the kids go to sleep, I'm binging. Over the weekend, when I'm not going to be with anybody, I'm already planning it. Because what you'll start seeing is that there typically is a whole cycle that occurs with the binging. So it might be planned, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it does feel like, oh, my gosh, it came all out of the blue. I didn't know this was going to happen, and before I knew it, I was in front of the TV, and I was binging on anything in my house. There also might be a certain time of day that you're consistently binging. So I have some people who say, yep, nights are the hardest. I have a lot of structure during my day, and then when I get home at night and I sort of can kind of relax, that's when the binging will happen. I have other clients who say, oh, right in the afternoon when I'm done with my classes and nobody's there, that's the time that I'm most vulnerable. So to also just start to think for yourself, it's like, are you noticing a pattern? I have other clients that say, Jen, it can happen anytime. There is no pattern. It's, you know, whenever something emotional is going on, whenever there's a stressor. But just to start thinking about that for yourself. And we're going to move into talking just a little bit about some intervention. So I wanted to give you something that you can start doing right away along with sort of thinking about all of this. But for some of you on the line, you may have worked with a nutritionist, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But keeping a food journal can be really important. And keeping the food journal is not just about writing down what are my calories. I actually work very closely with a nutritionist. We don't do anything with calories. It's not about calories. It's actually about how do you start having balanced meals, everything in moderation. You're allowed to have everything, eat everything in moderation and listening to your body. Really beginning to listen to what does my body want? When is my body hungry? When is my body full? Because often what happens with these eating issues is we really stop listening to the wisdom of our body. And so through the process of treatment, working closely with psychologists, nutritionists, oftentimes medical doctors, sometimes psychiatrists, through this whole process of working with the team, we start teaching you how to really start listening from the inside. But the recording of the food does have you start to get really clear on what am I actually doing with my food. And sometimes what I find with clients is, yeah, they might be binging, but absolutely what they're also doing is many times they're also not feeding themselves very well, because we can be setting ourselves up physically for a binge. If you're not eating a very balanced breakfast and then, you know, you're kind of snacking, picking, grazing, well, of course, by the time you get done with your day, it's like perfect time to binge because you haven't actually fed yourself well. So starting to really get clear on what am I doing with my food, and along with looking at what you're doing with your meals, are you even having meals? I have a lot of clients who, no, they're not even having meals. They're having kind of like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And over the weekend, I'll talk about more about this in a moment, but I do mindful meals at restaurants with a nutritionist. So we choose a restaurant and we have it be private, and we bring a group of our clients to really work with them with the meal. And one client was saying, oh yeah, like I don't have meals. Like I'm basically picking and grazing kind of throughout the day. And so, you know, she's not necessarily like doing a full binge all at once, but it's just sort of this picking, and there's never sort of the enjoyment of having an actual meal. And then at some point, typically that will lead to a binge. So something you can start doing right away is starting to look at what you're doing with your food. And then the other thing is also what's really important is recording your feelings, because the eating issue is definitely about your emotions. So if you can start saying, huh, well, this is interesting. I did, you know, a really great job with breakfast. I had a really balanced meal. I had a snack for, you know, in between my breakfast and my lunch. I did my lunch. But then by the time I got to dinner, it seems like something all went awry. And be curious about that. What happened? Oh, now what I can see, I got really stressed out about an exam I was taking. Oh, I got in a fight with my boyfriend, my husband, my partner. Oh, okay, now I'm seeing. And then what ended up happening is I took it out on the food, took it out on myself. I didn't listen to myself. So I kind of spoke to this going to the next bullet, creating an intervention for the time that you typically binge. So another client had shared with me the other day about that her binging typically happens at night, which I will say is probably more common for most people, because if you think about our days, we're with people, there's often more structure, and then at night when there's kind of this wide open space, sometimes that can be harder in general for people, but that's not everybody's story. But what she talked about is she gets in the car in the morning to go to her job. She, you know, kind of rushes to her job, so she's eating her breakfast in the car. She gets to the school where she teaches, and then when she's working with these kids, she's feeding the kids while she's also feeding herself. So you can already hear, like, whoa, this is not sounding too mindful. This is not sounding like nourishing oneself. It's sounding very rushed, very chaotic. And then at some point in the evening, it's like, okay, this is my time now. This is when I get to give to me. So what we really started working with her around, and this was a whole group, was what could she do differently for breakfast? Maybe she could get up earlier and eat with her boyfriend who lives with her. Maybe she could go to school and actually arrive at school a few minutes early. Could she actually talk with her school about separating lunch for the kids and lunch for her, even if it was like I take 20 minutes before or after I feed the kids? So I give you that example, but to think for yourself, it's like, huh, what are the times you're most vulnerable and what needs to be put in place to give yourself some structure, to create some new coping skills, to create some new patterns? The other thing I'll say, and this is a big one, is to stop eating in front of the TV. If you can begin to eat at your table, and I know that sounds like that is basic, and some people on the line are like, I already do that, but some people are not doing that, that they're eating in front of the TV, and it's very common. I mean, in our culture where there's TVs in multiple rooms, anywhere you go, I mean, this idea of like TV and distractions being all around us is kind of part of our culture. So it really takes something to say, no, I'm sitting at the table, I'm eating mindfully, I'm cutting out the distractions, I'm cutting out, you know, the loud music, I'm cutting out the, you know, difficult conversations over meals. I'm really going to create more of a sacred place around my mealtime. And I promise you, it will make a huge difference for you. So we have a few more slides, and I want to make sure I'm being conscious to leave enough time for questions. So we just have probably about four more slides. But I want to say something about longer-term strategies is you're really creating lifestyle changes, which include understanding how the eating behavior serves as a coping skill for you. So just as I was saying, is that it often always has to do with the emotion. Sometimes it does have to do with we're setting ourselves up physically for a binge because we're not feeding ourselves well during the day, and our bodies want to take care of us. So if we haven't given our bodies enough food, it's going to want. But begin to also think about what else works for you. You know, even in this presentation today, we did a very brief meditation, and we also did writing. Those are two things that can really create a different way to cope with your emotions. But it's really finding out what specifically works for you. I have some clients that would never write in a million years. Writing is not their thing, but maybe listening to music is. And the more coping strategies you have besides the food, because what I always say to my clients is the food works on some level. It does. It does work to soothe. It does work to calm. It does work to disconnect you from whatever upset or pain that you're having, and it has served you in some way. Of course, there's been the consequence as well to all this, you know, all the eating problem. There's typically always like more than one consequence, but it has worked in some way. So if you're looking at, huh, like with those things I said, yeah, it's really been a way to soothe myself, then the question is, what else can soothe you? And if you can begin to think about not just one coping skill, but a repertoire of coping skills, and this really leads to then the next bullet, which is, and I've already mentioned this, but my clients who tend to do the best with really moving through these problems, and the thing I want to tell you today is it's very possible to get over these things, even if you've been struggling with this for years. I've seen it time and time again. But the thing I want to say to you is you do not have to do this alone. I would recommend not to do it alone. That if you take anything away from this call today is contact Cigna, get yourself a therapist, get yourself a nutritionist, see if there's a group in your area. Elicit, you know, try to get help from loved ones who do want to help, who do want to be there, who do get it, who aren't judgmental and want to really try to help support you through this. That the clients who really find the multidisciplinary treatment team and stay with it are the clients who tend to do, you know, to do really well with this. And the thing I just wanted to offer something to loved ones is if you're on this call today, first of all, you're already ahead of the curve. you know, you're already educating yourself. But there are a lot of resources out there, and I'm going to share more about those in a moment. And if your loved one is attending therapy or is planning on attending therapy, I highly recommend that you join one of their therapy sessions. Ask them, you know, I really want to be able to support you. And I know some of the things that I say and do actually don't help, but they hurt you. And here's the thing, loved ones, they really do want to make a difference for you. The thing is they oftentimes don't know how. Just like you don't know how to get through this, they oftentimes don't know how to support you to help you get through this. And what I've seen is that sometimes family members want to help, and they do sometimes make mistakes, like making comments about body, making comments about how much the person's eating or the types of foods that they're eating. Those comments do not usually help. If anything, it'll have the person be more secretive and likely not to share as much if they're perceiving that there could be some kind of criticism. So going to a therapy session to be able to say, you know, what is actually helpful for you? How can I support you? What do you need from me? So focusing on feelings rather than the weight or the food, because, again, if a person is struggling with these issues, again, going back to that iceberg, they're struggling with something on a deeper level, and that's actually what you want to support them with. So I'm going to move into talking just a moment about resources, and there's a lot of awesome resources out there. The Binge Eating Disorder Association, and every year they do a really wonderful conference. The conference actually just happened in March, so you can look up that website. You might even want to attend the conference to learn more. It's a really strong association, and they have a lot of resources just in BETA alone. There's also the National Eating Disorder Association that is a really fantastic resource as well. They have a beautiful website, a lot of resources for family members, for people who are struggling. And NIDA also has chapters that are across all different cities. So you could even look in your city to see if they have a NIDA chapter in your area. There's lots of ways to get involved and to really, you know, even if you're wanting to give back in some way or to help in some way. Another organization is called Health at Every Size. And so it's really an organization that believes that it's not about the number on the scale or the size of clothes. It's really about what are the behaviors that you're taking on to keep healthy. And so it's really kind of speaking to this idea of it, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, you need to look a certain way to be healthy. Well, there's people who are average weight and underweight that are not healthy. So it's really looking at what are the healthful behaviors that you're taking on. There's a book called Overcoming Binge Eating Disorder by Chris Fairbairn, who's a big researcher and knows a lot about eating disorders. So this is a great resource. I also mentioned, and I'll say it again, Women, Food, and God, and that's by Janine Roth, R-O-T-H. She has many books on eating disorders. She's not a therapist, but she's gone through her own struggle with eating issues. You can even YouTube her. She has a really great personality and is pretty funny and, you know, really talks about her own experience. So she's a great resource. Finding a therapist, definitely talk with your Cigna provider. There's also an eating disorder referral called edreferral.com. So what you could also do is if you find a name on there, you can see if they also take Cigna and work with Cigna around that. There's an organization here, a husband and wife team, who also does some more intensive work. There's also several treatment programs that really focus on how to help with this issue of binge eating. And if you need other resources, I'm happy to kind of provide those. So I wanted to give you my contact information. And that's actually my cell phone number, and I've already answered some questions from people who really wanted to find out some additional resources. And I just put a flyer there. That's from the Mindful Meal that I just did. So if there's anybody who's actually on Cigna who's in the South Florida area, we're doing another Mindful Meal outing, and I do that with a nutritionist, and we're going to be doing that at the end of April. And it's April 27th. It's going to be a mindful brunch, and we're actually doing that at the Seasons 52 that's here in Coral Gables. So if you're wanting more information about that, it's really great. Or to find out in your area if there's some groups that are being run like that. So I am now going to pass it back to Kate, and just want to thank all of you for being on the call. I hope this was helpful, and happy to answer any questions that you guys might have until we're done with the presentation.
Thank you, Dr. Nardozzi. To help us evaluate and improve our program, please complete the following short survey. If you are a Cigna employee, we ask that you please refrain from participating in this survey. After the last question, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Your individual responses will be kept confidential. Our first question. This session provided me with a better understanding of binge eating disorders. If your answer is strongly agree, press star 1. Agree, star 2. Disagree, star 3. Or if you strongly disagree, star 4. I will pause for just a moment. Our second question. This session educated me on binge eating intervention strategies. For strongly agree, press star 1. Agree, star 2. Disagree, star 3. Or strongly disagree, star 4. Our next question. Overall, this session met my expectations. Please select one of the following responses. If you strongly agree, press star 1. Agree, star 2. Disagree, star 3. Or strongly disagree, star 4. And question number 4. I would recommend this program to others. Press star 1 if you agree, or star 2 if you do not agree. And our final question in our survey today, please select the response that best describes your role in the life of an individual with an eating disorder. Star 1 if you are an individual with an eating disorder. Star 2, I am a family member. I am a family member of someone with an eating disorder. Star 3, I am a health professional. Or star 4 for other. And moving on to our question and answer session, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on your phone line will indicate when your line is open. Please state your name before posing your question. Once again, if you have a question today, please press star 1 at this time. And I have no questions at this time, but I'd like to remind everyone it's star 1 if you have a question today. And it appears there are no questions at this time.
Well, I'd like to believe I was so thorough that maybe nobody had questions.
I think we'll go with that. And I just want to say thank you to everyone so much for attending today, and a very special thank you to Dr. Nardozzi for providing us all with such wonderful insights today. If anyone who was listening does have specific questions about any of the therapies discussed today, please feel free to contact the Eating Disorder Team at Cigna by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Please also be sure to mark your calendars to join our next Eating Disorder Awareness Seminar next month on Tuesday, April 23rd at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, noon Central, 10 Pacific. There weren't any other questions. That does conclude today's seminar.
And that does conclude our seminar today. Thank you all for your participation.